Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's Chris Walton and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:39 on this Bronco Monday. Brent Hunsaker from Channel 2 is also here. Bob, I just made the remark to you. I said that was a fairly comfortable game for a change.
It was, and especially against Air Force after losing last three times against the Falcons. And, you know, it was early for Boise State. They got a fumble on the second play of the game from Air Force. And, you know, if you're going to pick at anything, you know, a couple times getting inside the red zone, having to settle for field goals, you know, you might need touchdowns in some other games. But this game was a game that Boise State won in every phase. They threw the ball extremely well. They defended the option extremely well. There was one drive that Air Force got a touchdown on, their only touchdown where they, I mean, one of their only touchdowns. They had two, with one of them where they got down the field. A couple of passes were key. But Boise State overall, I mean, it was a very, very good performance on a senior night, 44-19. And it was more reminiscent of a game that looked like Utah State or Nevada than it did against, say, Wyoming or Colorado State.
And ripping to Richardson, that was impressive.
87 yards to start the drive. You get the ball deep in your own territory, and a lot of times when you get it down there, they think maybe you're going to run a couple plays, see something short, maybe something safe, try to get yourself out. And they went long up the right side to A.J. Richardson. He had over 100 yards. Cedric Wilson had over 100 yards. And if you watch the game, Air Force decided they wanted to shut the run off. They made things very, very difficult for Alexander Mattison. He had 17 carries for only 42 yards. That's 2.5 yards a carry. That's not good by running back standards. But because of that and because of crowding the line, and Boise State was smart about it, they decided, you know what, they're going to leave themselves a little vulnerable, a lot of one-on-one matchups in the secondary, and Air Force was not able to make very many big plays in the secondary and allowed for over 300 yards passing.
Yeah, you take what the defense gives you, and that's what was smart about what the Broncos did Saturday night. The other thing that was great was, hey, this defense really turned it around. The week before, they gave up, what, 52 points?
Yeah, 52
in
points.
In a shootout.
Yeah, but Colorado State's got a better team than Air Force. Even though Air Force beat Colorado State, if they played 10 times, Colorado State's a better team. They got a really good quarterback, really good running back. I think Boise State has learned how to play the option over the years. I mean, there were a few runs by the quarterback that were pretty good, but the pitches and the dives, you stop the dive and you don't let him get 5 yards every time you want to go to the dive to the fullback to start on the first phase of the triple option. You're gonna be doing quite well, and they did a good job on both of those legs of the triple option.
And in fact, they pick up they pick up, what, three turnovers?
Yeah, three fumbles.
Yeah, one of them returned for a touchdown.
And Air Force has had trouble with fumbles all year, which is one of the reasons why they're having a losing season this year. Three added to the 11 they had before. They've had 14 fumbles, and for an offense like theirs, fumbles is about as bad a thing as you can get.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, most of the yards are on the ground, and the ball was on the ground
a couple times. Well, and one of the times, the first one, it was a center exchange. You had a backup quarterback that started. Second play, maybe pulls out. Maybe they're not used to each other. The second one was an ill-advised pitch where he probably should have just eaten it and taken the loss. And then the third one that Boise State got, they basically forced out. So they were kind of all different ways getting fumbles.
Brent mentioned this morning that's pretty good, though, for a defense. You know, as he said, as you pointed out, Colorado State a little bit better, but give up 52 points 1 week and then just shut them down the next week. That's fantastic.
And then what it means is Boise State and Fresno State collision course, not only for the last game of the season, but for the Mountain West Championship game coming up Saturday, December the 2nd. And have to see them 2 weeks in a row. I think the Mountain West has got to revisit how they schedule the last couple of weeks. I don't think you want to schedule cross-division games because it just causes kind of a weird feeling that you're preparing for this game. Now, if somebody needed to win this game, then obviously you got to go all out. But I would think you would maybe want to use a B game plan. I know you want to win the game, but I don't think I'm going to empty my entire bag of tricks in a game that if you're going to play the same team the next week.
Yeah, and we were talking about that. How do you prepare for two football games in a row against the same team?
I think a lot of things you do basically, your basic plays, your basic, you know, defenses. you're going to do anyway, and the teams will see it on film. I mean, the other team is studying you as much as you are them. So I think you're going to do what you're going to do. You're not going to reinvent the wheel. It's not like Boise State's going to say in the second game, oh, we're going to go to the option. Fresno State will never expect it. So much of it is execution. So I don't think that you'll change much in that respect. I think it's just that, you know, maybe you won't go for an 87-yard pass or something that you might think might catch them by surprise. Maybe this week where you'd save it for next week.
Yeah, save it for the second game when you're going to face them in the conference championship.
Boise State still has an outside chance at getting to the New Year's Six, although it the door is kind of closed a little bit. So I don't think winning and winning impressive is as big a deal as it would have been if some of the American teams had lost. So you're listening to Bronco Monday. We'll be back to hear what Coach Harsin had to say after the game on 670 KBOI.
Bronco Monday, it's 8:47. Chris Walton with Bob Beeler and Brent Hunsaker from Channel 2 here today.
And as we take a look at our post-game press conference, our press interview with Coach Harsin after the game, we talked about Boise State picking up the lion's share of their yards on Saturday night through the air. They had 338 of their 428 through the air, and asked him about his passing game, why it clicked, and why they decided to use it.
Well, we felt like we could take advantage of the one-on-ones outside, and they're built to stop the run. They've done that to us before. I thought they did another good job of it again tonight, and we had to win the one-on-one battles outside. We had some shot plays that we hit, and you know, I think that was a big and key ingredient for the offense.
Again, they had some big plays. Of course, the 87-yarder to A.J. Richardson, but two other receivers, Evans and Modster, got into the end zone. So a very, very nice job by Boise State all the way around. They also were helped out by three turnovers, forcing three fumbles from Air Force. And Coach knows that getting turnovers and not giving any away, they had zero, was key.
You go and look at what you know we did defensively with three turnovers. We score on defense, and you know we're able to put the ball in a great field position. You know, one of the only things that, you know, we hope that we come out with some more touchdowns. We've kind of been in that same situation before where we've had field goals and we have great field position. And it happened again tonight. You know, credit to Air Force. They always play great on D, and they play great in the red zone in particular. But overall for our team coaches, this was a big game for obvious reasons and a lot of them. And senior night tonight, and they were able to go get it done. Very proud of them.
You know, you look at the numbers, he talks about the red zone. This year, the team, when they've gotten inside the 20-yard line, has scored touchdowns 59% of the time. They've scored points 86% of the time. But when you compare it to what the opponents are doing, Fresno State, for example, I've got my card ready for this year. They're only scoring touchdowns 55% of the time. So you wonder kind of what the national average is. I think it might be between 60 and 70. It's not 85-90%. If you see somebody doing that, you're looking at a team that's pretty efficient in the red zone.
Absolutely.
The defense, again, did a great job against Air Force's offense, especially the option, and he was pleased with their efforts.
Well, I think we just played fast and physical. It's not so much about scheme. It's really about how they play. It's about who they are, and we just needed to play more physical. We need to play faster. We tackled well. They did have some explosive plays. They actually threw the ball fairly well, and so I thought we made some adjustments that way in the second half. And that's just a credit to the players and the coaches just getting themselves dialed into what they're doing and not panicking and then getting themselves ready to go in that second half of football.
And if you look at the last 3 weeks, and we'll get his final comment here, one of the biggest differences for this Boise State offense to have really exploded, 44-59 against Colorado State and 41 against both Utah State and Nevada. So I guess the last 4 weeks now, it's been the play of quarterback Brett Rippon, and we asked him biggest differences for him.
Well, I think he's been consistent. You know, one thing about Brett, I think he's been very focused throughout the games, but he's shown consistency. He's made really good decisions. He's been out there, you know, finding kind of picking his battles, so to speak, whether we can take advantage of a play call or, you know, make a great decision. And that's what he's done. And I thought he did that again tonight. I really thought the deep ball that he was throwing was the best he's thrown since I've, you know, this season. And in a while, and, you know, it was really good to see that, the one he threw to A.J., that's obviously a huge play and a huge momentum swing for us early in the game.
And that was Coach Harsin speaking with us after the game here on 670 KBOI on the postgame show. We'll look ahead to Fresno State. That's the opponent this week. Next, we continue on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 8:52 on Bronco Monday. I'm Chris Walton. And Bob Beeler is here, along with Brent Hunsaker from Channel 2.
And Boise State's getting down to the nitty-gritty here of the season. We know we're going to be in the championship game. That's going to be Saturday, December 2nd, 5:45 kickoff. Tickets are on sale now because, and the reason why they're on sale now is you know Boise State's going to play Fresno State. The first tiebreaker, if you will, to decide who hosts it is who's rated in the college football playoff and who's not. Last time, Boise State was 25th. They've won. Some others lost, so you would think they would be ahead of that. So if you'd beat Fresno State, you figure you wouldn't drop out, so they would have that. If they don't, let's say they lose to Fresno State and they drop out of the top 25, then it would go to the computer polls. And right now, Boise State has a considerable advantage over Fresno State in the computer polls that even if Fresno State won, most people don't think it would be enough to flip the positions in the computer polls. Thus, the game would be here. Great value for the tickets. I saw $40 for, you know, like reserve seats and $20 for the end zone. And again, they, you know, they'll refund it, obviously, if something happens and it goes down there. But get your ticket. Should be a great game, and it's a great price as well set by the Mountain West.
It's so hard to believe that this is the same Fresno State. Well, it's obviously
not the
same Fresno State team, but last year they were 1-11.
Did not win a league game.
Yeah, what a huge churn.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that obviously is coaching. Jeff Tedford, who'd done a great job at Cal, things kind of soured there at the end, had been out of coaching or out of head coaching for a while. Fresno State alum, they bring him back, and I think he's done a marvelous job with them.
And I just thought of that, too. He was in the Canadian Football League, and in the Canadian Football League, they do play teams back-to-back a lot. they do that in the regular season. So, like, you'll see Saskatchewan against Ottawa, you know, back-to-back games or something. So.
Yeah. So that's the opponent for this week. That's the opponent for next week. you know, how we got Montel Cozart as a graduate transfer. Mm-hmm. They picked up a quarterback, Marcus McMarion, who was a transfer from Oregon State. And I think that's kind of solidified them. They have three losses. They're 8-3. Two of them back-to-back weeks 2 and 3 of the season at Alabama and at Washington. A lot of teams would lose at Alabama, at Washington. The head-scratcher for them is their loss to UNLV, coming on the heels of their 27-3 win over San Diego State, which I thought was a tremendous win going to San Diego. And maybe that next week they were a little too happy with what they did and, you know, didn't show up against UNLV.
Very possibly. It's kind of hard to say. Mm-hmm. The quarterback that transferred from Oregon State, really Oregon State could have used him.
They probably could have.
They've had a terrible season.
But maybe that's sort of the same thing. You know, you look at Montel Cozart. He's won 9 games now this season at Boise State. He won 8 in 4 years at Kansas. So maybe something like, although you wouldn't have maybe eyeballed Fresno State after a one-win season and said, we're going to win 8. So we'll see how that goes. Early game, Saturday, 1:30 Mountain kickoff. Our coverage will begin at 8:30 Mountain time.
I was looking over some of the things that Fresno, at least the Fresno Bee, says that they should be preparing for. And one of them is Jake Rowe. Because apparently Fresno State has had a big problem with tight ends who can catch passes.
Well, Jake Rowe is a tight end who can catch passes. I thought Jake was gypped out of being one of the top 8 for the Mackey semifinalists. Yeah. I looked at the list, and I'd find it hard to believe there are 8 better tight ends certainly catching the ball than
Jake. He only caught, one pass, I guess, against against Air Force. But he has more touchdowns than any tight end in the country.
Correct. And he's got top personal best this year for receiving and yardage as well.
Yeah. KBOY News time is 8:56. We'll be back with Idaho Talks Live at 9 after the news.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:06. Idaho Talks Live. I am Chris Walton, along with
I don't know. Who am I? I can't remember. I've been up too early this morning.
Brent Hunsaker.
My brain is fried.
Brent Hunsaker from Channel 2 is here. Used to anchoring, but doing this now.
And having fun. I'm really enjoying myself. It's so much more freeform here than television is very set, very rigid, and you have very few opportunities to just say what's on your mind.
Yeah, like you'll have 30 seconds and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Occasionally that happens here, but most of the time we have several minutes to do whatever.
Mostly it's when you cut off my mic.
Exactly.
I know that.
That does happen. A lot of things happened over the weekend. The president on Sunday lashed out a bit at the father of the UCLA basketball, one of the UCLA basketball players, who had downplayed the president's importance in getting his son released from shoplifting charges in China. And that was, of course, LaVar Ball. LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball, is a rookie with the Lakers, and he got a pretty huge signing deal because his father is a promoter. Now, LaVar Ball is a guy who played a little bit in the NFL, just, you know, had kind of a cup of coffee, as they say, in the NFL, and was a, you know, fairly good athlete in his time. And he had he's got a few brother, or he's got at least three boys, and the oldest is Lonzo, and then his second oldest boy was one of the UCLA players, one of the freshmen who got arrested in China.
Yeah, and that was LiAngelo.
Right.
I didn't know how to pronounce that one. But Trump apparently did something. He intervened to get them to come, get them home.
Yeah.
And I guess what maybe dad is not realizing how serious this crime could have been in a communist country.
Well, when LaVar was asked about the president helping his son, the first thing he said to the reporter was, "Who?"
Yeah.
Like he had never heard of the president before.
No, I don't know who that is.
And he said, "What was he over there for? Don't tell me nothing. Everybody wants to make it seem like he helped me out."
Yeah.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of when those guys were arrested. I thought, well, since the president is in Asia anyway, perhaps he could intervene in some way. Unless, you know, that's something that the State Department would rather he not do.
Well, but, and they, even if they hadn't gotten a long prison term, they could have been forced to stay there to go through the judicial process in China, and it could have, that could have been the end of their season.
Well, and as is, they've been suspended indefinitely, so they don't know when they're going to put them
back
on the basketball
team. So their season may still be over.
Yeah, it might be over, and they may have to transfer, you never know. But the president obviously saw that that interview with LaVar Ball, and he said, this is what he tweeted yesterday. He said, "Now that the three basketball players are out of China and saved from years in jail, LaVar Ball, the father of LiAngelo, is unaccepting of what I did for his son, and that shoplifting is no big deal. I should have left them in jail." And, you know, I always want to tell the president, okay, just leave out that last line, because no, you shouldn't have left them in jail. But
well, then technically they weren't in jail. They were under how they released them, and they were staying in the hotel that the team was originally staying in.
Yeah.
So it was like house arrest.
Yeah, somewhat. So they were detained anyway. But I mean, that's gratitude, I think, would have said it all for me.
Right.
But
And didn't the players read a statement and they included, thank you to President Trump?
They thanked him up one side and down the other, because they were very happy that they had gotten out of China. And what's funny is everybody, I mean, Stephen A. Smith, everybody that you can watch on television that commented on this said, how stupid can you be, you know, to shoplift in China?
Right.
Or really any foreign country, but especially, a country that's essentially most of our lives has been closed off from the rest of the world and is a communist country.
The only place that I could think of that would have been worse would have been Singapore, and they would have caned them.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And then thrown them in prison.
Or North Korea.
Or North Korea, and they would have shot them.
And what happens there when you take a poster off the wall?
That's right. You lose your life. You die. You get something terrible in a North Korean prison, and you come home to die.
Let's say this was your son. What do you say to the president, or what do you say when the reporter says, you know, or have you thanked President Trump?
I would say I'm very grateful for anyone and everyone that helped get my boy home.
Yeah, I would have said probably the same thing.
And I would have freely admitted that my boy screwed up.
Well, yeah,
that he did something bad. That he should be punished. And I'm glad that UCLA is taking some measure here to punish them and to impress upon them the bad thing that they did, which was a reflection not only on them, but on their team and on the school and on our country.
And you're right that they were representatives of the USA while they were over there.
Yeah.
And so this was just a dumb thing to do. Now, I guess LaVar, I don't know whether he meant to or not, he indicated that his opinion of shoplifting was that it was no big deal. Well,
okay, pick up
it's
a juicy fruit from a Five and Dime. That's no big deal.
Well, possibly, except to the Five and Dime. And they were in, what, a Louis Vuitton shop,
yeah,
which is very high-end, and they took some expensive sunglasses. So, it was close to grand theft, actually.
Well, and I have no idea what the legal system is for China, but my understanding from reading other articles was that it could have been as little as a misdemeanor. It could have been a felony that could have put them away for years
or
in a Chinese prison.
A year and a half, some people were saying. So, I guess on the conservative side. But at times the president said they could have, been in jail for 10 years. So I don't know. I don't know who was exactly right about it.
Well, from what it sounded like, it could have been anything they wanted it to be.
China?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where you're at their mercy and it's whatever they decide.
Yeah. And in this case, they decided to let him go.
Which was very generous of them, actually.
Very generous and very fortunate.
Yeah.
And I just think, I think the president sometimes has a tendency to overreact. Yes, LeVar Ball should have thanked him and should have been grateful. But on the other hand, if he gets snubbed, the president should be, I think, at least dignified enough to not lash back out. On the other hand, we know darn well that he's going to do that because he kind of does it every weekend.
You wonder, though, what is better, lash back at this guy and knock him down, put him in his place, or to be the, we've heard the term bigger person. I'm going to be the bigger person here, and I'm just going to let it roll off my back. I'm not going to comment on it. I'm not going to lash out.
But it all kind of depends on your philosophy of how to be the leader of the country. And as Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's the White House spokesperson for the president, the press secretary. As she has said many times, he doesn't take insults lightly. He doesn't take striking out at him lightly. He punches back.
Yeah.
And he punches back with words in most of these cases.
He's a New York street fighter.
Well, there we go. It's different than any of the other presidents have been. They've said stuff in private, but that's about it. But then again, this is a day and age when very little is private.
The one thing I want to go back to here, though, is these three young men were representing our country in a foreign land that doesn't get a lot of contact with Americans. Yes, American culture is omnipresent. It's everywhere.
As one of the guys on ESPN put it, there were morons who got together and decided that these guys were morons.
But what an opportunity, as to be goodwill ambassadors and to show another side to what an American is like and how an American behaves. And they totally blew it.
Kind of. They did show how a lot of Americans behave. Unfortunately, it was the bad side.
We were hoping they would put a better face on it than that.
Exactly. KBOY News Time, 9:15. When we come back, actually, do you want to do the Paul J. play? When we come back, we'll ask for the Paul J. play of the day. Not just yet, but we'll do that when we come back. And we'll talk a little bit about Al Franken. That's coming up. It's 9:15.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:21. Let me give you our KBOI rewards code for the morning. Is it Monday already?
Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our KBOI rewards code for the morning is the word reflect. And the reason we have chosen reflect is a headline that I saw this morning that said Al Franken won't resign, but instead is doing a lot of reflecting.
Reflecting.
which I don't think means he's looking in the mirror. Also, we want to...
Or he could be looking in the mirror.
We want to give away a $50 gift certificate right now to Lock, Stock, and Barrel. And what we need is for you to identify the Paul J. Schneider, the Paul J. play of the game from Saturday night's Boise State win over Air Force, 44-19. After the game, he identified one play that he thought was the play of the game. And if you know what that is, call us right now at 208-336-3711, 208-336-3711. The first caller to have the correct answer will get on the air with us here and win that gift certificate. So that's to Lock, Stock, and Barrel, which is a good place to eat.
Has a great salad bar.
Yeah, they do.
and steak. And there was a time, you remember, like back in the 70s when you'd go out for a steak and a baked potato or something, and everybody had a salad
yeah.
bar. Well, they've still got one. And so, you know, you get that added onto your dinner. I think it just comes with it usually. So it's a terrific place to eat. Quickly about Al Franken, Senator Al Franken, as you know, what happened to him at the end of last week. Leanne Tweeden, who is identified all the time as a radio host in Los Angeles. That's what she does now. She was a model at the time, and she was like a spokesmodel on TV and things like that. And she did USO tours with Al Franken, and she accused him of doing some inappropriate things. And he basically essentially admitted to it and said, you know, I'm sorry. And he wrote her a nice letter of apology and even called for, interestingly enough, an investigation into himself.
Yeah. So he is taking time to reflect.
Yeah, he's taking time to reflect.
Okay.
It's 9:23. Who have we got?
We have Lewis on the line.
Lewis.
Lewis.
Where are you, Lewis?
You got to punch him up there.
Lewis.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, there he is. I did it right.
Can you tell us the Paul Jay play of the game from Saturday night's Boise State Air Force game?
Yes, sir. I stayed up late. Junior cornerback Tyler Horton's 21-yard fumble return for a touchdown on the team's third defensive score of the season.
Let's hear it.
Romine bobbled the snap, but then got it. Flushed out of the pocket. He's going to go down. Ball is loose. It's a third fumble. Horton picks it up at the 21 and scores. And Air Force continues to have trouble with fumbles. Three fumbles in the game. Horton scoops and scores. We'll call it 21 yards. It's 26-7.
Lewis, you're going to be having dinner, you and probably somebody else, at Lock, Stock, and Barrel.
Thank you much. Paul Jay and Chris, I've known Paul Jay since 1967.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm glad you won, Lewis.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
That was also my play of the day. Well, the defensive play of the day.
Yeah.
And you
talked about it a couple of times this morning.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting thing that we heard from the player that scored the touchdown. He said that in practice, when there's a fumble, they yell either country or city.
Or city, that's right.
And if somebody yells city, city, then you basically jump on the ball.
Yeah,
you cover it, you protect it. If they yell country, that kind of means that you're out in space there by yourself, scoop up the ball and run.
And apparently they yelled country.
Yeah.
Because he picked it up and ran.
He said he could even hear, I don't know whether he could hear it in his head or just he could actually hear it, but he could hear the coach yelling country, I think just from practice.
And he kept his feet hot because he knew the play was still going. And he made a great play. Play of the day.
Now, Al Franken, back to him again.
Did you know that there is now a second woman who's accusing Al Franken of touching her inappropriately?
I did not know that.
Yes, there is a second woman. This is a new accusation. It's just coming out. Her name is Lindsay Menz. She's 33 from Frisco, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this is an old recollection, yes, but apparently there was, at the time, a tweet that her sister received from her. They took a picture, okay,
right.
And she says that he, okay, to be indelicate, he grabbed her rear end,
yeah,
you know, in the picture. And I think when the picture was out there, her sister said to her, or tweeted to her, said, hey, you guys looked really close. And she tweeted back, yeah, he grabbed me.
Exactly.
And something about what a creep. Let me see if I can find that exact quote. But so she is now, this is coming out on CNN. Just this morning, she said it was an uncomfortable interaction,
right,
to say the least, that left her feeling, quote, gross.
It's 9:26. We'd like to hear from you, 208-336-3700. We'll take a break and be back after the news.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:37. I'm Chris Walton with Brent Hunsaker from Channel 2.
Yeah, I just figured out how we can get calls this morning.
How's that?
We can ask people to call in and complain about me and TV. TV well, news. That would get a bunch
TV
of calls.
News, about TV news?
Yeah.
Well, do you really want them to pinpoint you?
Probably not. I have a thin ego.
Well, you were talking about, we have some interesting discussions during the
the commercials, because we were talking about the New York Times, and you said when you read an article in the New York Times, you hear it in your head as a BBC announcer. You know, this is the BBC World News Service, and you know, like the New York Times, and because they kind of write that way, like in a very formal manner. Oh, okay. Nate has just come in to complain about you.
I was just making fun of the New York Times because they usually are very controlled in their writing, and they don't use a lot of adjectives. But in this one article, and in my best BBC announcer voice, they said, "The accusations involving Mr. Franken come amid a roiling debate." And it's just
roiling.
I always do that. I don't speed read. So when I read, there are voices in my head that are reading to me. And I hear the New York Times as
they don't ever tell you to like go out
in a British accent.
They don't tell you to go out and do terrible
things.
Okay,
no,
good.
No,
I wanted to check that out.
So we're not complaining about the TV news?
No, we can do that. You're not.
I rushed in.
You're not due back in here.
I put the sandwich down.
You're not due back in here until this afternoon. You're having a sandwich at 9:30. Well done. That's sounds like something.
I think that was a saying.
Oh, okay. Might have been a breakfast.
You open
sandwich.
The door. I put the sandwich down.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. A breakfast sandwich, probably. And here's the based on this. This new thing about Al Franken, and here's the problem with, he was a comedian, essentially, and a comedy writer for years and years and years, and when you're a comedy writer, you have a tendency to try out a lot of stuff. Now, probably squeezing someone's rear end is not something
you should try out.
Think it's going to be funny.
No.
But you do tend to try out a lot of things and run them past your coworkers and your friends and your fellow writers to see if they're going to work. And about 99% of what you come up with doesn't. That's why it's so difficult to be a top comedian, because everybody in the world thinks they're funny. And so very, very few people actually can put together an act and stand up there for an hour and say funny thing after funny thing after funny thing.
Well, now, here are two observations on this latest revelation, Ms. Mintz, down in Frisco, Texas.
Yeah.
Two things. Number one, Al Franken, I admired him for the way he treated the first accusation. And as you said, he said, I call for an investigation of myself.
Yeah. He seemed contrite.
Yes.
Yes.
But now that this one's coming out and he says, I feel bad if our interaction made her feel disrespected.
Which is a non-denial.
Yeah, now he's starting to sound like a typical politician.
Yeah.
My other observation was he did this in Texas. He did this while her husband was taking the picture of his wife and Al Franken together.
That's a little foolish.
In Texas?
That's doubly foolish in Texas.
Yes. I lived there for a few years.
Right.
Many of my friends are Texans. And in Texas, for better or worse, you do not disrespect a man's wife and hope to live to tell about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's lucky. If Mr. Mintz had known what was going on, my guess is he would have pulled out a gun and probably winged him. Well, at least winged that hand so he would never be tempted to grab something with it again.
Or winged him dead center.
I went for a wing and got him.
Yeah.
But that's Texas. I mean, to do that at a Texas State Fair where there are apparently a lot of people around and taking pictures and paying attention to him, I don't know. I guess the thrill of maybe doing something like that and getting away with it.
I don't know. We talked also about the thing that happened a few months ago in Colorado, and this was from a few years ago. Taylor Swift had been there doing a concert, and a Denver disc jockey, she says, put his hand on her rear end and squeezed while they were taking a picture. Now, you look at the picture that was taken, and he says, no, my hand wasn't anywhere near. Well, it looks like his arm is extending right there, and she's even kind of shying away from him, which is odd for her.
Well, and
in that picture,
his explanation was he was just kind of feeling around looking for where he should put his hand.
Yeah.
And in the process, put it someplace
where
the
picture was taken before he found the place he should have put his hand, obviously. As if the human body is such a mystery to him. Anyway,
wasn't there like two suits involved there? He sued her.
Yeah, he sued her,
and then she countersued.
He sued her because she told a record company person about it, and the person told the radio station owner and said, "We don't really appreciate that." And so this guy got fired, and so he sued Taylor Swift for millions of dollars. Well, she countersued him for a buck. She sued him for $1.
She said, I don't have any interest in making money off this. This is nothing. I just I don't think that when you're posing for picture with a woman, no matter who she is, that you should reach down and squeeze her rear end. And they, you know, it went to trial, and it went, and she testified, and he testified, and the jury found in her favor, and so she won a dollar. So basically, he didn't get his job back, and he didn't get millions of dollars, and she got a buck or whatever. I mean, I don't even know if they bother with that.
If it were me and I was doing it out of principle and I just wanted a buck, I still think I would have asked for attorney's fees.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But she can pay attorney's fees. I mean, she's extremely wealthy.
Yeah, but some of those attorneys can really rack up the charges.
That's a good point, too. But she wasn't even interested in taking the guy's money.
No.
She just wanted him to stop and to put a message out there, don't do this. This is not what you do. And she poses for like a million pictures a year with people. I mean, I don't have any pictures with her myself, but I tell people this all the time, that when she was 17, she came to Boise, and she wasn't famous yet. She had just got her first single. Her first single was out on the radio. It was called Tim McGraw.
Uh-huh.
And she came to Boise and actually played a half-hour show at the Buffalo Club. And my wife and I went out to dinner with her and her mother.
Oh, how cool is that?
Her mother was – well, I didn't know how cool it was at the time because I didn't know she was going to become this international superstar. She was a 17-year-old girl, and she was quite, you know, pleasant, and I was more interested in what I was eating probably that night. And between Taylor and her mother, I don't think they even ate one-fourth of a salad. They were very light eaters, which I guess you can understand. But my wife and Taylor, you know, got along famously and laughed about both being Sagittariuses, and it was a fun evening. But again, this was not a famous person at the time. It was just somebody trying to become a famous person. But very, very interesting. And I can see, you know, I can see why she has had success, because a lot of the people who have had tremendous success are quite nice.
I don't have a Taylor Swift story personally, but just from what I've read and what I've heard in accounts, and for a while, my son was a touring guitarist, still is, for Neon Trees.
Right.
And Neon Trees, a few years ago, was opening for Taylor Swift in Australia, which was great for two reasons. Number one, when Neon Trees was opening on their own tour, it was like day after day after day. It was like running from place to place to place with Taylor Swift, because she was a big enough star. Her contract was perform one day, 2 days off.
Right.
So they actually got to see things.
Yeah.
But my son's...
Because it takes about 24 hours to set up her stage act.
Yeah, and to take it down again, I'm sure. But just in his conversations with her, it was that she was a very down-to-earth, very nice person. I tried to encourage him to date, you know, to really get to know her. He's too shy. Wouldn't do it. But everything I've read about her, everything I've heard about her, is that she's a person who carries herself well. Yeah. She's not like some of, you know, the childhood stars that grew up and imploded.
Yeah.
She's not like that at all. So
She's not a don't you know who I am
type
of person.
I tend to believe her over the DJ.
It's 9:46. We'll be right back.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Hey, it's Chris Walton with Brent Hunsaker from Channel 2. And you asked kind of a good question during the commercial.
Every now and then I do that.
Well, yeah. And you've got a reporter background. Of course you do. So here's the deal. You asked me what my opinion was. What is it with people who become rich and famous or are admired by other people or have fan clubs and things like that? Do they just have this idea that they can get away with anything?
Yeah, in politics, in places of power, in entertainment, it seems to be rampant in Hollywood, has been for generations.
And my theory has always been, when it comes to fame or wealth or, I mean, there are a few other things, and one of them is probably alcohol. There are several things that, you know, people say, well, that really changed him. It just changed him so much. You know, he got famous and it changed him. No, it revealed his personality.
That's the case.
He became famous and really wanted to get away with anything. Now, not everybody who becomes famous is a jerk. There are plenty of people who I've you know, you've talked to lots of famous people in your life. I've talked to lots of famous people in my life. Some of them are great people.
Yeah.
Some of them, you're just glad when they leave the room. You know, unfortunately, that is
the case. We won't name names in that case.
Well, no, we probably won't. But and there are some people that, you know, if they were your next door neighbor, you'd
think they were just like any next-door neighbor that, that you've ever had. I mean, assuming they didn't make you mad for some reason. But then there are others who just simply can't seem to handle it. And this goes along with wealth as well. And I put alcohol in there because, you know, somebody says, boy, when he gets drunk, he's a completely different person. No, it just comes out. It's in there.
Yeah. I think that's a very good observation that that you have the power. Therefore, you think you can finally be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
And so the true you comes out, which is unfortunate. But I think one of the exceptions, as you pointed out, and as I've heard, is Taylor Swift. She's one of those people that have reached the pinnacle of her profession and been there for a while and has managed to remain a decent person, a decent human being.
Gary of Emmett says, when I look up, okay, you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Because he says, dear Chris and Mr. Burgundy.
Wait a minute.
Gary's got a good sense of humor. Okay. He says, when I look online, I still see BSU playing the Las Vegas Bowl as the projected bowl game. Is there a more recent projection, and can you guess whom they will play, possibly Stanford? It's up in the air right now. The Las Vegas Bowl is the best bet. A lot of teams that are ahead of them would have to lose for them to end up in one of the larger bowl games.
Yeah, they need
year.
A lot of help, but Las Vegas Bowl obviously is what ESPN is saying. Bob today said looked like Las Vegas Bowl is the most likely.
Yeah.
Again, they'd need a lot of help.
And it would be
they'd have to win out, plus a lot of other teams would have to lose in order to get into a January first bowl game.
Right, and contractually, it would be a Pac-12 team, and
right.
So it could be Oregon, it could be Arizona State, or Arizona. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the standings are in the Pac-12, but Stanford is a possibility as well. Francis of McCall says, "I like that. Winged him. Men who think they can have a liberty with women are jerks, super jerks. Women should remember a good slap is an appropriate response."
Now, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying in Texas. It wouldn't just be a slap. I'm guessing either the wife or the husband or both of them would pull out their guns.
Very possibly. Appreciate you joining me today, Brent.
I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me here.
All right. And by the way, when can people see you on Channel 2?
Well, not today. I'm going to go home and go to bed. But you can normally see me Monday through Friday at 4, 5:30, 9, and 10.
All right. It's 9:55. We'll see you tomorrow.